my last surgery, and I'm looking forward to getting this behind me. Just finished his fifth year at Iowa State. Taking the Cyclones to four straight NCAA appearances. And there's still a lot of people that think that he won her back-to-back, two back-to-back Big Ten, or back-to-back Big Ten tournament titles, by the way, that he should coach here. But he's got it made down there. His name is the mayor down there.
You know who else he led that team to this year? A lot of brackets busted.
Yeah, that did happen.
Mine included.
Mine too. I thought he had other things on his mind, though. You know, it happens there. Now a completely different story. Darren Sharper, you know, he's a convicted rapist, served 9 years in prison for his crimes. Can't return to a regular, will not return to a regular life after he finishes his sentence. If two New Orleans judges approve the deal instead of issuing a 20-year sentence in Louisiana, that's what they're waiting. He's expected to get 9 years and then suspended the rest of it. He's going to be treated and should be as a sex offender the rest of his life, and that could include, well, it can include quite a bit. He could be tracked by GPS. After parole, he'd be moved to Arizona for probation for the rest of his life. No longer would be allowed to drink alcohol, go to a bar, use online dating, or travel more than 50 miles from his home without permission from state officials. And here's the real kicker. His penis also would be monitored. Did you know about that?
No. Monitored by what?
Well.
Or who?
Sharper. Whom? Well, it's according to a story in the New Orleans Advocate. Quoting the Advocate, Sharper will be subject to lie detector tests and, while on lifetime probation in Arizona, to the penile plethysmograph, in which a sensor is attached to the penis while an array of sexual images flashes before his eyes to gauge arousal. I've never heard of that one before.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? Gotta keep our composure!
I tell you. Well, you know what? Anything that happens to this guy, it's more than deserved, because he admitted to these the heinous things that he did, these horrible things that he did. And you know what? If you want to monitor him that way, I have no problem with it. I don't think you do either. Hey, good news for finally. It was a rough Monday night for Frank Kaminsky. You know, his team didn't win. They blame the officials, right? Even though they had a 9-point lead and blew it. Even though they had two of the best players, two of the three best players on Duke in foul trouble most of the game, they still wanted to blame the officials. Well, good news for Frank Kaminsky. He's the player of the year in college basketball.
Again?
Again. He's racking up those player of the year awards.
How many of them are there?
There's a few. There's this one was the Wooden Award. So he swept the top college awards. But the Wooden one is a big one. They're all big, though. You know, AP, Wooden. I'm guessing it was voted on before the final game.
Well, he had a really good final game as well.
Yeah, but he didn't put his team over the top. That's what people wanted to see.
No, he was trying.
How tall is his
Decker
mom
failed.
And dad, Kaminsky? I wanted to get some
13.
Perspective. 13 what?
I don't know.
I said how tall. You said 13.
Yeah.
13 what?
Meters.
Oh, I'm not asking you who's on first.
Giants?
His dad looks like he's got to be close to 6. His mom played volleyball, right? She's really tall, too, it looks like. But it's, good for him. He's the most outstanding player, and I'm happy for him.
And Decker announced he's foregoing his senior year, going to the NBA draft. Wise decision.
Well, yeah, Decker decided he was going to do it, but it's not exactly. He probably would be going a few spots higher had he, you know, had his career ended in the national semifinals and not in the championship game, because he kind of disappeared there.
But the lead up to that game was such a phenomenal run to help that team get to that point. Would that still mean something to the NBA team looking at game film?
Here's what I think we have to consider. Look what happens with the NFL. Look what happened to Teddy Bridgewater. He had a bad pro day, and he slid. This is a guy that at the start of the season was expected to be the number one overall pick. He went from the first overall pick in the draft to the last pick of the first round, number 32. If you're looking at these guys and the games that they play, they have workouts too. But they're going to be these games will stay in the minds of scouts Well, we talked about the other day. What about Jahlil Okafor? Is he no longer considered the number one overall pick?
I don't think he is anymore, but it's not because of what he did. It's because of what Karl Anthony Towns did.
No, I think it's partially what he did too, the way Kaminsky took him to school in the championship game. You know, and he'll foul you. He has to work on that, and he just didn't handle himself well in the championship game. And I said this the other day too. Interestingly, senior year in high school, going into the senior year, and for part of it, the number one overall ranked high school player in the country was Tyus Jones. Okafor overtook him, and they're buddies. They went to school together because they're such good friends. But he was not the number one overall pick in the country. That's what's interesting about it, to me anyway. So that's another one. Oh, by the way, Major League Baseball players, we talked about this the other day, that daily fantasy stuff that you can play, the FanDuel and all that, they've been prohibited by Major League Baseball from playing the daily games, even though they don't consider it gambling. They don't want them to get too hooked up with that. I told you yesterday, I've never done it. Have you ever done it or been tempted to do it?
I haven't, but
I want to.
I might look into it.
Because you know what? When you look at the money you could make, it might be, you know, if you know what you're doing, it's something where you actually, much like if you follow the stock market, you know what you're doing, you could make some money. I mean, it's a lot. You have a better chance of doing this. It's not as random as the lottery.
I think a lot of Twins fans know exactly what to do, at least for part of it. Stay away from Twins players.
I'll tell you what.
You're going to do great.
I wish I was all over Detroit in game two.
Load up on those White Sox.
Yeah, for this one coming up. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will be joined by Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth, ruthlorden.com. I'm going to talk to her about this Jordan Spieth and we'll ask her what number she sees him finishing with. And I talked to her yesterday and she had, she's been in contact because she's been with, talked to Vince Lombardi, also talked to Ben Hogan. Hogan, not a big Tiger fan. We'll tell you why when we get back.
Get your Twins inside update every weekday. Hardball with Mike Berrettino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Paul Molitor is not looking to skip the fifth rotation spot.
You don't really need that guy if you keep, say, Phil Hughes on every fifth day turn. And he said he's not tempted to do that. He likes what he's seen out of the fifth spot.
Hardball with Mike Berrettino. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutraDrink. Every Monday through Friday afternoon at 5:30 with Radioactive Sports, 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Joined by Ruth Lorden, ruthlorden.com, and at Psychic Ruth. Now, Ruth, you've been in contact with one of the greatest golfers of all time, Ben Hogan, and he keeps giving you the number 25. And does that mean Jordan Spieth is at 14 under, which is a 36-hole record? The record for the Masters is 18. Is the number 25 what he thinks, or he's telling us Jordan Spieth will shoot for the Masters?
He's saying, yeah, that's his potential. He could do it because he's his homeboy. He likes him. He's a
both
nice
from
kid.
From Texas, right?
He's a nice kid, and he's a nice-looking kid, and he wants it. But he's wondering why the Spieth is not using Ben Hogan clubs.
Well, maybe he needs to get that straightened out because then he would be invincible.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
And he's probably got one heck of a deal with, probably because he has one heck of a deal with Titleist. That might be one reason why he's not using him. Now, but he likes Spieth, and will he help him if Spieth isn't using his clubs?
Well, the Texas camaraderie, they have to stick together. And he yesterday, when you asked me about him, it came through, he is mad at Tiger Woods. He doesn't like him because he says golf is a gentleman's sport, and Tiger's behavior, he did not act like a gentleman, and he brought disgrace and bad name to the game. He says he respected his wife. You should always respect your women. You should always respect your wives. And there is no place for that foolery in his game.
Well, he's clearly not a big Tiger fan. Now, All right, but Jordan Spieth will win in a win, but keep an eye on the number 25 because Ben Hogan says that could be the number.
And he wants him to continue a lot because he says he doesn't like this. Like this Rory, these one-hit wonders.
Rory McIlroy? He's not a one-hit wonder. He's a hell of a golfer, too.
But they win one time. They win the Masters one. He wants somebody to win the Masters 5 years. He wants long-term establishment in golf. And he wants more golf on television and more courses. And he also would like to see golf in the schools because he thinks it's a sport of gentlemen. And he says he doesn't like the way that members in other sports teams have been playing. He doesn't like the way they act and they play, and he's laughing about those other men from Texas.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, could the 25 mean he was talking about the Twins and that's how many games they'll win this year?
I don't think they'll do that many. Right now, they're in the Battle of the Basement, which was last year the cream of the crap in Chicago.
Now they got that big three-game series coming up starting. It's just unbelievable how this team has been going.
Well, as I tweeted to the Twins, and I said, Cracker Jacks and peanuts are fine when you have a winning team. Nice try with that diversion of fancy foods.
Well, I mean, they have their opener. They got Chicago today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and then they got their Kansas City at home next Monday. And Chicago, you're right, that's not a great team. Maybe things will turn around for them. Are you feeling a okay season from them?
Not without drastic changes. You know, I felt that Carl Poled came through and said he wanted Derek Jeter to manage. Now, Paul Molitor is going to have to get a fire up under him, and they're going to make a lot of changes. They're going to have to do things fast. You know how it works when and Carl's here. He says, when that attendance goes down 20 to 30%, my boys will get smart and they'll do something. And he still says, where's that movie about me?
Well, he's got a kid who's a movie producer. He needs to be asking his kid where's the movie about him. And Carl, all due respect, but the Derek Jeter call, I don't think Derek really wants to manage baseball very much. But is he optimistic or is he really upset about this start for the Twins? He thinks it'll get better?
He just showed me kind of a crapshoot and a bowling ball. And he's saying that as soon as attendance gets low, they're going to act on it. They'll do something. They'll get smart. It's a beautiful field. He loves the game of baseball. It's a beautiful game. They have to get better. The Twins have to get better. They need something to boost their morale.
Well, why doesn't he go and whisper? He could get whispering to his kid's ears, right, and say into Jim's ear and say, get better. Get some better players. Spend some money.
You know what it's like,
Carl knows,
Bob.
You can't take it with you.
Yeah, you can. You wrote a script about how you take your money
but
Carl was just saying he was saying to you know how it is with kids. They don't listen to me. Do your kids listen to you?
That's a very good point. Carl, you got me on that one. I know that. I can't get my kids. I can't get Hellboy here to listen to me.
Sorry, what was that?
You see what I mean?
I haven't been paying attention for the last
couple
minutes.
That's exactly where we're. That's exactly what I meant with that.
He wants the Twins to win. I want the Twins to win because they could be a great team. For God's sakes, they've got everything they need to be great except the morale, and we have good players. They got to get there, and he just said a swear word in gear.
We can imagine what that one is. Now, Carl is not one who could certainly talk about this, but how are you feeling about the Wild? Are they going to have a great run in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yes, they are. I'm not going to jinx it, but I told you I see the Stanley Cup.
You see them winning the Stanley Cup?
When you mention the Wild, I see the Stanley Cup shining, and it keeps getting closer and closer.
So you're saying that they could win the Stanley Cup or will win the Stanley Cup this year?
Yes, I can say they can right now. We don't want to say anything. We don't want to jinx anything. But, yes, they're going for it. They're not getting arrogant. They're really not injured. They're doing things right. I feel that Zach Parise is going to surprise us all.
Well, I mean, he's a hell of a player, but surprise us all, I mean, take his game up even another level?
Yes, he's got some things up his sleeve.
Well, like what?
He wants to surprise us.
Okay, he's going to surprise us. We'll see how that...
clean hits. It says very clean hits. So, in other words, when he hits
with his stick.
Okay. Clean hits.
Clean going through the for the goaltender. Okay, now let me ask you about this. The Vikings... when you look to what they're going to draft, can you sort of see an image? Is it a big guy, a little guy, a fast guy? Like a heavy lineman would be a big guy. What are you seeing there?
They need four more starters. They need four starters.
Well, you could probably argue they need more than that. They need a cornerback. They need another safety. They could use a linebacker on the defensive line. Defensive line, they could be okay. They could certainly use to shore up a defensive end. But on the offensive side, I still think they don't know who their running back is going to be yet. They could still shore up at wide receiver. They have a tight end who keeps getting hurt. Their offensive line, they certainly can use some help there, at least some depth. So there are many places where they can
and
use help.
I do feel they have a very strong practice squad, and they are literally going to be bringing people up from within.
Well, that's what your practice squad is supposed to be doing for you. Whether or not it does is an entirely different story. Now, I want to go back to this Jordan Spieth thing in the 25, because that is a... When you look at a guy, he is now... Let me just run through a few of these. Jordan Spieth is at 14 under, and he's done for the day. Charlie Hoffman is at 9 under. He'd been at 10 under through 17, but Ruth, I did a little. I don't know if it was psyche. It was just knowing, but it was knowing people. I knew he would look at the leaderboard, see he's at 10 under, and hack up a hairball. Now he's at 9 under because he had a bogey at 18. Ernie Els, who is 45, he's a great story. I would love to see Jordan Spieth and Ernie Els in the final pairing on Sunday, and that would mean they'd have to have the two best scores.
Well, the second person you mentioned, what I saw when
Hoffman.
You mentioned his name, is he's up and down. He's kind of inconsistent. He's emotional.
He's so, very, yeah.
Yeah, so he may be out. That last person is slow and steady, wins
Ernie
the
Ellis.
Race. He's like a veteran. He's
going to
go for it. And the key player here is the weather. And so far, it's been on their side.
Yeah, it hasn't been bad at all. And actually, guys are putting up some really good numbers because Els is at 5, and these guys are not... But Justin Rose is at 5 under through 12.
He's going to have a really good game.
A good match, or mm-hmm. he'll do well. Okay, and Casey, Paul Casey is 5 under, and he is...
he's another one that's up and down, isn't he? He's an inconsistent kind of guy.
Well, the most consistent one... also, through his career, has had much more success than him,
yeah.
But he's also older. And Tiger broke 70 for the first time since 2011. So that's a big deal for Tiger to do
like
that.
He's coming better, and he will rebound. He will rebound. He's playing for his he's got to save his soul.
And, well, Phil Mickelson is, he's at 2 under through 8, by the way. So he needs to get some go. He needs to get something going here. But right now.
Yeah, a movie contract.
Phil Mickelson?
Yeah.
Well, he needs to get his game going a little bit. But those are the guys that are primarily in there. And, do you see Jordan Spieth, 21 years old, he's a great story, running away. Well, you do see him running away with it. He's doing it now.
I see some very strong biceps. He's got a lot of strength and power, and he can muscle this through, and he has good perception and direction, and he knows how to work with the wind.
I don't know how to work with the wind, especially if the weather. I mean, there was talk of there being some inclement weather there over the weekend.
Did he ever play in Hawaii? Because I got a vibe of him in Hawaii doing really well.
If you're a golfer, chances are you've played in Hawaii.
And did really, really well there.
What did you say he had? He had 6 top 10 finishes this year?
Yeah.
They played in Hawaii yet? I have no idea.
I do not know that for sure.
They usually play those. When they do, they usually do it early. So it's possible that I'm sure he's played in it. Ruth, we want to thank you. Ruth Lorden from RuthLorden.com and at Psychic Ruth. Thank you for all of that. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. And we'll be right back.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
He shot down every screamer who's been crowing that he's washed up, that he's busted up, and that he should hang them up. He's not going to do it.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com, and he is at Augusta National, and he is witnessing history. The course record for 36 holes shattered by Jordan Spieth. And Jim, I mean, he's only 4 off of where Tiger's record was, and my God, if he keeps this up, he could be 28 under. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I mean, if you think of the numbers, just extrapolating him, it's unbelievable what he's done.
It's amazing on all kinds of different levels. First of all, we're used to seeing young players have big weeks, you know, Tiger Woods, back in the day. Remember, Tiger did it too, before golf courses were prepared to deal with players hit the ball as long as he does. I mean, Tiger Woods, you know, did what he did, and then they changed the golf course and made him longer and tougher so he wouldn't be able to do it anymore. Jordan Spieth is doing it without being able to hit it very far on a course that was lengthened because of Tiger Woods. You know, when Rory McIlroy's run away from the field, it's been because he just overpowers everybody. It's longer and higher and straighter than everybody else. Spieth is not a long hitter. He's doing this with course management, with accuracy, with brilliant putting, with game management. He's doing it with all these, you know, these underrated aspects of the game. I'm stunned. I'm not stunned that he's winning. I'm stunned that he's breaking records and blowing away the field.
So when you look at it, then, for what you're saying too, you can't speed proof a course.
No. Well, unless you want to put windmills in front of the holes.
He'd probably be pretty good at that too. His putting. I mean, he is a phenomenal putter, isn't he?
Yeah, and these greens, you know, these greens are unbelievably fast and tricky. And he actually, you know, was just in the interview room saying something interesting. He is kind of a protege of Ben Crenshaw, the great Texan who's also a great putter and who did his best putting at the Masters. And he said Crenshaw's given him a lot of tips on, you know, how hard to hit certain putts where there are just so many subtleties on these greens. You know, some of them break toward Ray's Creek. Some of them break, incongruously, you know, and if you miss, you might be looking at a 6-footer coming back. You know, they're just very difficult. And it's not like he makes every putt. Nobody makes every putt. He missed a putt on 9 and a putt on 18 that he usually would make. But, you know, overall, the putting is unbelievable. And I'll give you kind of an example. Here's a 21-year-old kid. I followed him the entire back nine. I followed a few holes in the front nine. Here's a 21-year-old kid who's never won a major before. And on the 15th hole, he tees off first. He hits it down the middle. Henrik Stenson goes on. He's playing with Henrik Stenson. Stenson has a terrible hole. He hits it left, and then he hits it off a tree. Then he hits into the embankment. Then he takes forever to drop. And then he walks up from the drop around the creek. He walks up to look at the green and goes back. It would have driven me crazy if I'm sitting there with a lead and the guy I'm playing with is taking an hour to play the hole. And I asked Spieth in the press conference, said, was that difficult? He said, well, the only thing that was really troubling was I had to go to the bathroom the whole time. So compound all those things with that. Here he is just waiting and waiting and waiting, just standing out there in the middle of the fairway, trying to break a record, not hitting a shot for about half an hour. And then it's also one of the most delicate shots on the course. Downhill line 15, hitting a wedge kind of uphill to one of the trickiest greens on the course. And he knocks it up there and makes the birdie. Tiger Woods might have strangled Stenson. And Spieth's back play was no big deal.
You know what did he add that he would have had an eagle had it not been for the waiting? It probably would have been.
Well, the thing is, he laid up. Yesterday on 15, he wasn't sure what to do. He ended up taking a hybrid and knocking it way over the green on 15. And then that was his only bogey at this tournament was 15 yesterday, where he got a little aggressive. And so today, you know, with a little bit of wind in his face, he wedged it up there, and then he hit the wedge approach and makes birdie, you know, on the only hole that had gotten him so far.
Now, do you, when you look at this kid and listen to him, does he have charisma? I mean, is the type of a guy that is going to be? Could he have that sort of Tiger charisma that Tiger had? Is he a great quote, or is he just?
No.
What about the?
Well, Tiger was only a great quote.
No,
when he wanted to be.
You're right.
Tiger could be. He had the capability. He only gave it out when he wanted to give it out. He wanted to control everything. That was the thing. Tiger Woods was the most controlled and controlling athlete I've ever been around. And Spieth is just. And I talked to a bunch of the writers and know them from Texas. I talked to other people behind the scenes. You don't want to paint somebody as a great guy and find out later that they're, you know, they're kicking old ladies as they walk down the street. And sometimes it happens in our business.
Yep.
I've talked to a lot of the Texas writers say this is who he is. He's just kind of, he's very straightforward. He's a nice kid. He's not a great interview, but he's just kind of a likable interview. He doesn't give you
That's
the money
enough.
Quarter all the time, but he's likable. And when you watch him on the course, the way he reacts, he interacts with other players, with other caddies. It's obviously just an easy guy to like.
Well, if he, he's going to be, we already know from what he's done, was it 6 top tens already this
right.
year? He is going to be as popular as they get. And the endorsements, he already has them, but I saw something on Twitter that Under Armour, he has a golf shoe. It hasn't even debuted. It's coming out. The one that the shoe that he wears. My God, think of the money they're going to make if he wins the Masters and he wins it the way he's running away with it now. He is going to be the hottest thing out there for endorsements.
Yeah, no question about it, especially the Tigers brand dipping a little bit. There's a lot, and as you know, I mean, selling golf gear to golfers, we should all be in that business. And think about Steve, too. You know, there are a lot of people who couldn't relate to Tiger Woods' game, you know? I mean, there are a lot of people who took up the game thinking that it must be easy the way Tiger plays it and realize they can't hit it 5 feet. Everything kind of relates to Spieth's game. I don't know if that's going to be great in the marketing world or not, but he plays the game that we should all try to play, which is keep it safe and learn how to putt, you know?
Well, I think it's a great story. And the fact that right now, I mean, he would fall off, his game would fall off dramatically if he just tied Tiger's record.
Right. That's exactly right. He's on his way to a historic round here. What I'm going to be really interested in is how do the Green Jackets react? Because, you know, it's not exactly a sexy final grouping, Charlie Hoffman and Jordan Spieth. The record, you know, Spieth chasing the record is sexy, but there's not a lot of drama. There's not a lot of rivalry there. And I'm going to be really interested to see whether Augusta National does anything to try to toughen up the course specifically for Spieth. The last 2 days, or whether they're okay with him just beating the heck out of it.
You know what? I said this to David Helmer here, our producer, when he was on coming off of 15.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Hoffman, I said, when he gets to 18, he's going to get a bogey, or 17 or 18, he'll bogey, because he'll look at the leaderboard. He's going to realize where he is. I think tomorrow he makes the dive. You'll see. I hope it's Ernie Els at 45. That would be a great pairing to have Spieth and him. But Justin Rose isn't bad either.
No, Justin Rose, frankly, I find Justin kind of boring, but he is
a good golfer,
a very accomplished player.
Yeah.
He has won a major. He can, you would think that he'd be the kind of guy who could put a scare into Spieth. But honestly, the thing about Spieth is, he's not going to do the kind of things that like Greg Norman did or Vandeveld did, where they bring double and triple bogey into play. You know, he just doesn't get himself in much trouble. You know, he most of the way he plays, you know, yeah, he's going to, I mean, he's only made one bogey here. I would expect he'll make more than that on the weekend. But he doesn't play the kind of game where he's going to be trying to go for every green, where he's going to try to be going for every spectacular shot and bringing double, triple bogey into play. I'm not sure he can be caught at this point.
No, well, I mean, when you get Hoffman as your closest pursuer, he's five behind you. I don't think so. Now, Jim, are you going to get a chance to get in anything live there? You said tomorrow morning or Sunday morning you're going to try to do a podcast with Sean.
Yeah, I think we're doing tomorrow, I think, at 10 o'clock from the Masters. Sean will be just kind of in studio, and I'll be describing the week and setting up the weekend. And that's SuhanUnfiltered.com.
Yep, and this is Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Check it out for all of his podcasts. Got some great stuff there. Some of the baseball podcasts you did at spring training, they're easy to find, and you've run some of them recently, right?
Yep, and Mikavis and Tom Kelly were the last two, and of course, the two best previous were Torrey Hunter and Eddie Gordado.
Yeah, your twin stuff's terrific, and I'm sure that tomorrow will be great too. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you Monday after Spieth runs away with it. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Bob.
All right, take care. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. We will be right back. Little D-bag of the day coming up for you. Bye.
Sports and legal issues. They don't mix very often, do they? Join Marsh Hallberg with Bob Sansevier every Tuesday afternoon at 3.
This is called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Why the big blow up in Indiana, not in other places? Generally, there are not federal laws that protect against sexual orientation discrimination. But many states, including Minnesota, what we passed back in 1993, we've got a state protection against discrimination. Indiana doesn't have that.
Marsh Hallberg, every Tuesday afternoon at 3. Powered by Smart Start MN. 105 The Ticket. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
We are back. I like that music. Finally, after all these months, seemingly years, he picks a good choice for music. We talked to Jim Suhan a moment ago. That's Jordan Spieth. He's just, he could actually, if he does what he is doing right now, in the next two rounds, he'll be at 28 under, obliterating Tiger's record. It's unbelievable what the round this guy is having. And I just hope he keeps it up, because it'll be a lot of fun to watch tomorrow and Sunday for the final two rounds of the Masters. We are joined now by Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Now, Tom, I just have a little bit of advice for you. Stock up on food because you are going to be busy next week.
Well, I hope we're going to be busy next week. I hope it's going to be a fun ride for us. It should be, but we still have there's still work to be done. We have no idea where we're going, who we're going to play against as of yet, but we're getting down to the wire now. Obviously, there's just one game left.
Well, if they win in St. Louis, then it's they could they could overtake Chicago if Chicago loses.
Yeah.
So it's you're right. There's three places you could still wind up: St. Louis, Nashville, or Anaheim, right?
Yes, can't play Chicago, but we can overtake Chicago.
St. Louis, but, Nashville, Anaheim. Yep.
Yeah, and you know what? It doesn't matter. We don't want to wish for any particular team, but we have won the last three games in Nashville. Last night, the guys really played well, and it was really great to see how Darcy Kuemper came in, and after giving up two goals early, was able to rebound back, and the guys did a great job in front of them. So this team is on a high right now with a lot of depth on the sidelines waiting to get into the games for the camp because the other guys are playing so well.
Tom, how big a deal is it for them to have put in Kuemper and get a good outing from him? The confidence, if they know they have to turn to him for any reason in the postseason, that has to be a big deal.
Well, it was terrific, yeah, because we didn't know how those guys were going to respond. Remember, Darcy's last start was January the 6th. And so that's a long time ago. Now I know he had he had a little bit of time in Detroit where he replaced, Devin in one of the games there and played pretty well. Didn't give up any goals on 14 shots. And then of course he went down to the minors and didn't really perform a great deal down there, but at least he got in some playing time, which he has not seen much of. But, he stepped in there yesterday and I was really, really pleased because he came up with some very, very big saves for this hockey club. And it's nice to know now that if something were to happen to Devin Dubnyk during the course of the playoff run, that, Darcy would be there to help out.
Talking to Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, you've seen this team since its inception. Have you ever felt the way you do right now of a Wild team going into the postseason?
No, I haven't. Even back in 03 when they went through the first, into the third round, this team I think has more depth and it's more skill and more speed than I've seen before. And it started between the pipes. Once they picked up Devin Dubnyk, because this team was very good at the beginning of the year, Bob, if you remember.
Yep.
They won 7 of their first 10. They could have won all 10 games. But they didn't. But they won 7, and we thought things were going to go well. But, of course, we got into December and the first part of January, and things just kind of slithered away. But once it picked up, Devin Dubnyk, I mean, things were terrific. Because in the 38 games he has played, he's gone 27-8-2 with a 1.73 goals against average.
It's incredible.
This team now has won 12 games on the road in succession, and that ties the record set by Detroit back in 2005-2006. So Minnesota with a victory tomorrow could break that and have the NHL record of consecutive wins on the road.
Now, Tom, have you checked to see if you, because they'll be on the road, obviously, in the first round. Can you say, you know what, we want to play all the games on the road? We don't even want to go home to play. Let's just stay on the road.
Well, you know, you've got a point there because on the road, Minnesota has 24 wins. At home, they've only had 22.
That's incredible, isn't it?
And it really is. I've said time and time again that if you want to be a playoff-bound team, a good team, you've got to win at least 500 on the road. Well, they're well beyond that when you look at their record on the road, 24-14-2. So they've won 24, lost 16, but, boy, they have been terrific. And just their goals, just the way they played, too, Bob. I mean, having Zucker back in the lineup for the last two games, he's got three goals. Got three goals in two games. He's got so much speed, and he gives that element that we're looking for. We're not looking for the toughness. We can be physical. We're not a tough team, but we're a fast team. And I think when you've got guys like Fontaine, you know, at the front end, and you've got Schrader, you've got Zucker, young kids coming into the fold here to work with the veterans. Boy, it really has made a difference with this club as far as the success of this team goes.
And Tom, you've been around this team all year. Do they have another gear, that playoff gear that is also vitally important? You're one of the hot goalie and there's got to be another. It seems like they do have another level they can take it to.
Well, I think now that they're healthy, I think there is another level. Get Matt Cook back into it so he gives you that physical presence. You've got Carter back in. He gives you that penalty killing and physical presence as well. But having Zucker has really made a big difference. And knowing that Darby is there too, I think gives the team a little more confidence. The guys really responded to the giving up the first two goals in Nashville in the first period. They came back, and this is a third period club. I'm amazed what they have done in this third period. You go back to February the 22nd. Since that point, they've played 23 games. They have scored 34 goals in the third period, giving up just 9. That's a plus 25. There's nobody even close to that.
No,
in the league right now, no other team. So Minnesota really, you know what? They just they stay the course, even though they're behind like they were yesterday after the first period, 2-0. They just stayed the course, and eventually things turned around for them, and able to capture a couple more points.
Well, Tom, you know, because obviously they'll be on the road to start it, I'm guessing people will come out with their lawn chairs and little tents outside of Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub just to be in there to watch the road games, to get the good beer and the good grub.
Well, you know, we're going to make it as festive as we possibly can. We're hoping people will come down and be a part of it, you know, collectively, almost like having a mini XL energy center where everybody fills up the tables. And we had a good crowds last night, and the people were really happy, obviously, leaving. When you win, you're happy. When you lose, you're not so happy. But I think people really enjoy coming down. And, of course, we do specials for all the home and away games. So we will be filled up. But if you want a seat, you better get there early. And we do not take reservations, believe me.
And, Tom, I've been to a lot of sports, you know, pubs around the nation and bars. Yours is... It's the most fun to be in because I love all the memorabilia you have. You did a great job with it, and the food's great. And obviously, anything you want to drink, you'll help out. Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team, Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, thank you so much for taking the time. We're going to be in touch next week because this is a great run they're on.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Take care. We're going to turn things over to Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. I want to wish everyone a great weekend and a happy weekend. It's Watch your Twins, watch Jordan Spieth, and watch your Wild.
Dumbass.
Tiger, by the way, hit a bad shot off of 15 yesterday, called himself a dumbass. He's our dumbass of the day. We'll talk to you on Monday. Oh, by the way, don't hang up yet. We're going to have a very, very special guest next week. You're going to love, we'll tell you about it Monday. You're going to love who we have.
Minnesota Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.